It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
California Wine Country, our good friend, and he's here with us a lot, and it's always great to see him and talk to him, Don Chigazola. Don, how you doing, my brother?
Thank you. Thank you, Steve. Doing great, Dan. Buonasera. Thanks for inviting me back again.
See.
Always a pleasure to come talk to you here on the show.
And it's always great to have you on the show. And as I always say, Don has one of the greatest gigs in the world of wine. It's Chigazola Merchants, and it has to do with Italian wines. And every time you're on, I got to have you run down the whole story because it's pretty damn amazing, and I'm so jealous.
Ah, well,
you know,
thank you.
Being Italian, we're two Italians, and you get to have all the fun.
Cheers. yeah, so I am very, very fortunate. I started this business about 12 years ago with my son, Tony, and my wife, Debbie, and we literally drive the back roads of the Italian wine country regions, and we look for these small family artisan producers.
Yeah, and see, that's a key, man. I mean, you're driving around in the beautiful areas of Italy. Well, there's very few non-beautiful areas of Italy, but yeah, you're going to these family wineries and wine growers and
we
such.
Are.
Yeah,
and these are farmers. They're salt of the earth people. You
right.
know, they're not business people. They're not corporations. They have been doing what they do so well for generations, and their secrets of Italian wine production has been passed down from generation to generation. And when we find one that we think is just an exceptional representative of the varietal from that district, we'll develop a relationship with the family and bring them over here, import their wines over here for distribution to both our private wine club members and as well some restaurants and wine shops around the area.
I know. It's very cool. And I do see something on your website, ChigazolaMerchants.com. And this is actually from 2019. So it's not your fault or your people's fault. It's from 2019.
Oh, I think I know what you're going to yes. refer to.
Yes. the new wines of the Marche region on the drive with Steve Jackson's California Wine Country on an old station.
Yes.
Yeah, get rid of that.
Yeah, I definitely will.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Thank you.
Marche is the region anyway. But, dude, explain, I mean, you have not met a lot of these folks that you're visiting before, right?
Oh, that's right. And, you know, we meet them in a number of different ways. Sometimes we will just go into a village in a region with a specific objective of try to find a specific varietal.
So, sure, yeah.
You know, the first thing I'll do is go to find the Centro, the center of town, find the park bench. And there's always a group of old Italian men sitting at the park bench.
Arguing. Often.
But all dressed very well.
Yes.
I'll just walk up and, yeah, just like you.
Yeah, because you got to look good on the radio. That's why I dress so good.
You are dressed for a park bench right now, I would say.
I wish I was on a park bench in Italy.
Yes.
You know, talking wine with guys.
But I'll just introduce myself and let them know I'm an importer from California, and I'm here to find who makes the very best wine in their village.
Right on.
And that's when the fight breaks out as they start yelling at each other. but I'll just start writing down names and then go knocking on doors, introduce myself and say, I understand. You make great wine. You've got the endorsement of the park bench. And, you know, I'd like to taste your wines. So that's one way. The family that I'm going to introduce you to today is from the region of Umbria in the center of the country.
Beautiful place.
And a little village called Montefalco. And in this case, I found this family, the Spaghetti family.
Not spaghetti.
Not spaghetti.
Spaghetti.
Spaghetti family with two C's.
Yeah.
And they were recommended to me. I was very fortunate in this wine career that we've developed to meet a wonderful lady who's been working in the Italian wine world for 25 years. Her name is Uliana. And Uliana just happened to meet up with me one day, and she says, there's a family in Montefalco I think you should meet. the Spaghetti family. So tasted their wines at the Vinitaly Wine Show in Verona. Love their wines, and these are the wines I brought here today. And our next step, whenever we meet a new family like this that we're thinking about bringing their wines in, is to actually travel down to their winery, to their village, walk their vineyards, walk their winery, and develop a relationship. And, and really, this is such a relationship business that,
of course,
it's the best way to really determine, is this going to work? So right after the Vinitaly Wine Show, Debbie and I took a train down and met with the family, walked their beautiful 40-acre vineyards and a beautiful cantina that's just outside the historic ancient walls of Montefalco. Spent an entire day with them and decided, yep, these wines are fabulous, and this is going to be a winner. So imported them back. They arrived here in the country just this last January, so they're fairly recent. And in fact, the reds are just, I'm just now starting to pour the reds because for whatever reason, reds tend to get a little bit of bottle shock coming over in, on the ship.
I understand, yeah.
I let them rest a couple of months before I even offer them to my clients.
Dan Berger showed up, probably stuck in traffic.
Although I have a traffic report.
Yeah, go ahead. It sucks.
You want to? Yeah.
That's all we need.
Bad.
Yeah, it's bad. Chigazolamerchants.com. I'm going to quote here. 200 years ago, your ancestors immigrated to America from Genoa, Italy, and began importing goods and merchandise. And over the past several years, your family has been fortunate to return to Italy and discover the land and culture of your ancestors. And that's what we've been talking about here. And it's, what has it been, 12 years?
It's been 12 years. I left the corporate world 12 years ago.
Nice.
With just an idea and decided to pursue it. Our first container that came over 12 years ago was just wines from two different families. And now we import wines from 13 different families in 12 different regions.
That's beautiful. And explain how this works, which I have you do every time you're in. As far as, okay, you meet with these people, you get to know the family, you get to taste their wines, and you decide these wines are worth bringing back to America. Explain the process after that.
So it's a rather regulated process, as sure. You might guess, and not so much from the Italian government side. It's all U.S. government mm-hmm. side. So before I could bring in a single bottle of wine, I have to get a number of different federal permits and state licenses, county licenses,
and this all takes licenses. A long time.
Yeah, it took about 6 months. Actually, I thought was fairly quick. But after receiving my 13 permits and licenses that it takes to get a bottle of wine in this country, we brought over our first container. Now, how that works after that is once I identify a producer and which wines I want to import, I have to have every label on each different bottle approved by the U.S. government. And they require in the U.S. to have certain language, including the health warning that you're all familiar with.
Sure.
They're required to also put our name on the label as who is the importer. So they have to print up special labels just for me. And then once they do that, label the bottles, package them up. At that point, it's just a matter of logistics. I work with an international wine shipping company. I give them copies of the orders and say, go get them.
And they do.
And they do.
And you're lucky to have them working with you.
Yes. They do this all the time for much, much bigger clients than me.
Yeah, exactly. And again, as you say on the website, it's not just about the wine, but also la terra and la familia, the land and the family.
Exactly.
And that's what it's all about. Dan Berger's here, finally outside of traffic hell on a Friday. Let's talk about this first wine that you're pouring. And go ahead, Don, and talk about that, and then I'll have
you bet.
Dan tell me why I love this so much.
Well, like I mentioned, these are the wines from the Spaghetti family. Their winery is called Colle Cioco. It's named after the hill where their estate sits.
Okay.
And this first wine that I poured for you is a very traditional wine from Umbria. It's the white varietal Grechetto. And
is it kind of close to Sauvignon Blanc, or is that between Sauvignon Blanc and Chardonnay?
Halfway between Sauvignon Blanc and Pinot Grigio, I think.
Yeah, okay, I'll go with that.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah. Now, as the name would imply, Grechetto, there's a fair number of people that believe this grape originated in Greece, was brought over. But Grechetto is found widely throughout Umbria as one of the two white varietals that you'll find there. The this particular Grechetto is a little bit different. It is not 100% Grechetto. Many Grechetto wines can have a bit of bite to them, a bit of sharpness to them. And
so this is a blend.
This is a blend. The family decided they wanted to produce a smoother Grechetto, so they blended 85% Grechetto with 15% Viognier, and it just smoothed it out.
Right.
And I think you'll agree it's a fairly smooth mouthfeel.
It's very smooth, Dan.
Yeah, it's got some nice balance and structure. Now, my first experience with white wines from Umbria was about 30 years ago, roughly about 1989 or 90, and those wines weren't very interesting, the whites, and the reason was that this region really did reds much better, and they didn't have the technology at that time to really capture the fruit. This has got all that fruit captured and beautifully structured. The Viognier gives it a little wild spice component, whereas the Grechetto gives you a little undertone of sort of a minerality. It's very dry. It doesn't have any sugar. And what's good about it, that is that it really works beautifully with salmon or any kind of seafood. Just really nice wine.
Or my linguine vongole.
There we go.
Yes.
Your favorite.
It is my favorite, linguine and clams. I just love this. And does it matter what vintage it is, what year?
This is a 2022.
Okay.
So it is their current release.
It's young.
Yeah, it's young. Yeah, but the Grechetto is, I think, meant to be enjoyed fairly young.
Is there a lot of Grechetto grapes, I assume, grown around Italy?
You'll find Grechetto in Umbria,
yeah.
The Marche, Emilia Romano, and I think that's about it.
Okay.
Oh, maybe Lazio, but it's primarily grown in Umbria.
Now, again, the wines that you bring over here with Chigazola merchants, we're talking reds, white, even sparkling. And rosé, and a whole lot more. And people can buy those wines and also mixed packs of wines on Chigazolamerchants.com. Explain how that works in the sales when people go to your website.
Sure. So right now, I would say 80% of our sales are direct to consumer. Anybody can, if you're in a state that allows direct wine shipping, anybody could go on the website and place the order, and it will be shipped immediately from the website.
Very nice.
We currently offer roughly 70 different wines. And we also offer a wine club. So if any of your listeners would like to have these artisan Italian wines delivered to their doorstep every 3 months, all they have to do is go on the website, click on Wine Club, and send me an email, and I'll make it happen.
Right on.
The other place that people could find our wines are some of the local restaurants. In fact, one of the reds you're going to be tasting this afternoon, you'll find at Cabianca.
Ooh, we love Cabianca. I know Dan is there all the time.
All the time.
I don't get there enough, but I love it. All right. Dan, talk more about Mr. Chigazola and everything he does.
This is a dream job in a certain way. You pointed that out yourself.
Right.
But in a way, it's a dream even before it happened. It's like Don said, what can I do for the rest of my life that's going to be fun and fits within my lifestyle? It's a little risky to get started. It gets off the ground slowly. But, boy, it's worth once you get it right. And what Don does is go in and sit in the local parks and in the local cafes and he talks to waiters and so forth.
He talked about that when you were stuck in traffic.
Yeah, well, and you know,
weren't you listening to the show when you were stuck in traffic?
I've known Don for a few years.
You don't even have a radio in that Model T.
That's true. What do you got there? Okay. So, and what's so nice about this kind of a job is that once it's on, on its own 2 feet. Once this project is on its own feet, this whole thing really works as long as you constantly stay in touch with what's new and happening in Italy. You have
and that's
to
what he does.
Yeah, you can't just rely on last year's import products. You've got to constantly update and constantly look at all the vintage. And I'm sure there are times, Dom, where you brought in a wine a year ago and it worked great. And then the new vintage comes along, and you taste it and say, well, that's not exactly what I want to do. So you just have to say, hold it. We're not interested this year, but maybe next year you come back. And
oh, that's exactly right. In fact, every April, the first week of April, is probably the largest wine show in the whole world called Vin Italy.
And where in Italy is it?
It's in the city of Verona.
Okay.
And a giant, what they call the Fiera, which is their fairgrounds. Imagine the largest conference center you've ever been in.
Really?
There's 14 of them. And every building is dedicated to one of the regions. And, you know, there's 20 wine regions, so they have to share them, obviously. But it is massive. There are 6,000 producers that bring their wines to pour for people like me.
Wow.
All of our current producers always go, and so it's a very convenient way for us to go over and taste the new vintages every year. And just make sure that, yes, this is a vintage that we think we want to bring over.
Now, you've been doing this 12 years, traveling Italy and meeting all these families and growers and farmers and wine producers. And you find new people all the time. That's pretty much what your gig is. But I'm assuming that you often go back to people you've already known and gotten wine from and shipped over here and just check in with them to see what's new, right?
Steve, most of the wines that we bring over, we've been bringing over consistently since we started.
A long time,
As we've added them to the portfolio, we go back probably every other year, place another order, assuming we really like the vintages, and continue to bring them back. Because of our wine club, our clients develop, they get to hear the stories, they get to read the stories that we share.
Right.
They develop an association with these families, and they continue to want to enjoy their wine, so we keep bringing back.
All right. I knew Dan was going to like this, and it's a little off for me. It's a little perfumey, as one might say.
Well, exactly. And one of the reasons, this is the Trebbiano, is it?
It is. So this is one of the oldest wines varieties known in Italy, Trebbiano Spolatino, and for a long time it was not used for winemaking. They used it to have the vines cover arbors and things to provide shade.
Wow.
And it wasn't until, I want to say, maybe 2 decades ago that an Italian winemaker figured out how to handle this properly.
Well, a couple of things about this variety. It is relatively floral, as you point out.
That's what I meant.
I didn't
mean to say perfumey, but that's the first what's left of my brain.
But it's half. This is a grape variety that actually was used to help make red wine, because it provided a substrate with good acidity and actual tannin. The tannins in this wine are noticeable. They're not strong, but they provide a substrate. It's like it's the thing on your tongue.
The first thing that hit me was the florality. If that's a word, and if it's
absolutely
not, I say it on the drive, and automatically becomes a word.
That's what it is.
You know who would have loved this? My darling grandmother, Carmela Vicario. She would have loved this, and she lived to 104. So you know,
she must have drunk
I'm liking
this
it better.
I bet she drank this.
She probably
did. The other part about this is that, again, it goes back, Don's point is well taken, is that Trebbiano was really used as a blending grape. It was never used for primary fermentation and made into a varietal wine. And when they started getting in stainless steel tanks that they could jack it with the stainless steel and the cold temperatures and keep the tanks cold, they could capture some of these aromatics. And then they would start to tinker with getting rid of some of the astringency. So this is really a delicious wine, and this really goes great with lighter seafood dishes like scallops. I think it's really a fabulous one just to sip on its own with, say, peanuts.
Well, you know, it's the beginning of the beginning of the taste, the floral part, which kind of made me go, wait a minute, and then the mid palate, beautiful and
gorgeous,
and the finish is incredible.
Well, it's rich.
And now I'm hungry.
It's rich. Don. It's rich in the mid palate till you get to the end, and then it's crisp enough on the end, so it's all by itself.
Yeah. He is Don Chigazola. It's Chigazola Merchants, ChigazolaMerchants.com. This guy's amazing, and he and his family do this and have for 12 years. What a great gig he's got. By the way, if Melissa wanders back in, I want to get her on mic 4 because I want to talk about Claudia. She's out in the green room. Okay. We're switching to reds here?
We are. Are you ready for this?
I am.
Okay. The very first red is a classic blend from the district. It's called Montefalco Rosso. And this is a blend of 70% Sangiovese, 15% Merlot, and 15% Sangrentino. Now, as we'll talk about...
Are these all pretty much 2022s?
This, no. So I should say the Trebbiano Spolatino that you had is their recent release. It's a 21. They actually let it rest in the bottle for a year before they release it.
Wow, okay.
Now, the Montefalco Rosso, this, again, is their current release. It's a 2019. And
the nose on this is blowing me away.
It's got massive amounts of fruit.
Mm-hmm.
A little teeny bit of plum, a little bit of red cherry, and a little bit of black cherry. Not as much of the cassis component that you'll get in some other varieties. But what I like about this wine is that it's explosive when it goes in the mouth, and then it settles down, and the aftertaste is so classic you want to put it with some roast beef. It's just really good, gorgeous flavors.
Hey, Mike?
Yeah?
Can you go down to the cellar and bring up some roast beef?
Sure, let me do that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Wow, that is spectacular.
Oh,
it's a great.
Thanks.
You know what I love about this wine? It's got good structure. It's got good balance. It's not heavy. It's light.
It is light.
It's gorgeous. I mean, sometimes people say, "Well, gee, they don't make wines like they used to." Well, they now do. It's in Italy. So what's the alcohol in this? It's probably, it can't be over 14, right?
I don't think it is. So aged, after fermentation, aged 1 year in oak, aged 2 years in the bottle before it's released.
Wow.
That's a really delicious wine. And
this is spectacular, Dan.
Yeah, most producers
It has the structure of Pinot Noir.
Yeah.
The structure, not the flavor. It's like Pinot.
Most producers of Montefalco Rosso and Umbria will release it a year sooner. Maybe a year on oak and a year on bottle. This family ages their wines longer.
Okay.
And the oak is not noticeable in the aroma or in the taste. It's all integrated.
I agree.
So all of a piece.
All right. He is Don Chigazola from Chigazola Merchants. It's ChigazolaMerchants.com. And as I always say, he's got one of the greatest gigs in the world of wine. He travels, he and his family travel all over Italy, and they meet and search out these families, these farmers, these wine growers and wineries, and meet the families and talk to them. And then when they find some stuff they love, they bring it back to us here in America on ChigazolaMerchants.com. It is California Wine Country, brought to you by Rodney Strong Vineyards and Davis Bynum Wines. Our guest today, our good friend Don Chigazola. Dan Berger, of course, with us, and Don has Chigazola Merchants.
This last wine that we're sipping here, Steve, is the Sangrentino. And Sangrentino isn't widely recognized by average Americans, but people who are Italian wine lovers will certainly be able to tell you this is a super premium. Sangrentino is a super premium grape variety.
This is incredibly lovely.
It's dense, it's thick, it's rich. It's going to be 10 years in the bottle at minimum. It goes with any kind of roasted red meats. Osso Buco, classic example. And then if you have the patience, You stick it in the cellar for a few years, and boy, it starts to develop. This is a 2018, and it's from Choco.
Really, 2018?
It's their current release.
C-I-O-C-C-O, yeah. Wow. Current release. It's already 6 years since harvest, and it's a baby. It's an absolute. But Sagrantino is like Barolo, but for the south part of Italy. Barolo's in the north. You don't see much Barolo growing down the south, obviously. Nebbiolo, the grape. But in this case, Sagrantino is really the alternative variety for that style of wine. It's a dense wine, but what flavors? Good
and
gracious.
You will only find Sagrantino in Umbria. You will not find it in any of the other regions. Steve, I do want to mention this 2018 Sagrantino, aged 2 years in oak, 3 years in the bottle before release. So this 2018 is current release, and as Dan mentioned, this is a baby. Sagrantino, the reason they age it this long is Sagrantino is such a tannic varietal that it's just not even approachable for about 5 or 6 years.
Okay, makes sense.
And it's still going to evolve for the next 10 years. So.
And Dan, would you lay this down for 10 years if you had 10 years?
If I had 10 years, I would definitely. don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
No, exactly.
Some guy comes out of the hills. I love this kind of stuff with age, but boy, you can certainly drink it now. Boy, you really can.
We are, and yes, you can.
Yeah. We're proving that.
Yeah. Yes, we are.
No country in the world has as great a percentage of its land devoted to grapevines than Italy. No other country is that peopled with grapes and grapevines.
Amen.
So when Don goes into an area, there could be maybe it's a 200-year-old region that no Californian has ever stepped foot in. And there are little teeny pockets of this, and that's one of the reasons it's such an excitement for Don, because he goes over there and finds places that you didn't know were places.
I do speak Italian. I'm not fluent. I'm conversational, but I'm told I have a good accent, and they think I'm fluent, so I very quickly get myself in trouble. And, of course, with our last name, which is Genovese, and then when I have my son with me and they see it's a family business, all of that kind of puts any concerns at rest.
You're right.
This family, the Spaghetti family, is a perfect example of a family that fits just dead center of the profile we're looking for. The family has been involved in winemaking in Montefalco since 1870.
Wow.
They are one of the three oldest families who have ever produced wine in Montefalco.
And that was about 12 years after the country was formed.
Yes. Their grandfathers, who was Settimo Spaghetti. Settimo, for those who speak Italian, means seventh, because in large families they would frequently name their children as the number. So Settimo Spaghetti and his two brothers started cultivating this land and producing wine for the first time. And today his grandchildren now carry on the business. Father Umberto and daughter Silvia now run the business and manage all aspects of the business. And when we met them and spent the day with them, Umberto insisted that we stay for dinner. And in their winery, in their tasting room, he had an open pit fireplace in which he cooked an entire meal in the fireplace for us.
Nice.
Paired with his wines.
Again, why I say you have the greatest job in the world of wine.
No, I've only been to Italy, I think, four times total, and each time the hospitality has just been overwhelming. And what's fascinating about that is that sometimes they don't even know who you are, and they don't care. If you're anywhere near the property and you care about wine, they know you care about wine. And the best part of it for me is that wherever you go, the wine's good.
Yeah, amen.
You 30 years ago, you couldn't say that. But now, boy, can you say it today.
When may you be going back?
Our next trip is in August.
That's not far off.
No. We try to get over twice a year.
Very
cool. Always in April for the Vindoli Wine Show. And then we try to get over in the fall.
Dan, last thoughts?
If anybody has any debate as to whether they would maybe be scared off by the fact that these grape varieties are not particularly well known to them, have no fear. good quality Italian wine is everywhere these days. And one of the reasons that this is sort of an amazing project is that Don got started in this at a time when this was just beginning to happen. 12 years ago,
right on.
We didn't even know how good the whites could be. And then it started to happen, and boy, it's in the last decade, we've seen fabulous whites, and that pairs with these incredible reds.
There's over 300 Italian varietal whites.
300. Can you bring them all in next time?
We're trying. We're doing our best.
These red wines that you've brought in today, unbelievable.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Credit to the producers. Credit these families. They're just committed to their art.
Right on. Don Chigazola. Go to ChigazolaMerchants.com. Find out everything they're doing and how to purchase these fine Italian wines. California Wine Country, brought to you by Rodney Strong Vineyards and Davis Bynum Wines.